probably the chief among those, but I think we've enjoyed quite a few others as well. So thank you for being here, and if you're visiting, we're really glad you can join us tonight to honor the God of heaven. The title of the lesson tonight is, Can Pride Be Good? Can pride be good? The Bible overwhelmingly condemns pride and warns against it. And yet the word pride has found its way into modern English to describe things that are viewed by society at large and sometimes by Christians. So sometimes I hear the Christians use the word proud in what they mean to be a positive sense, in a good way. Heard it just a day before yesterday. Somebody was talking about, talking to somebody and saying they were sure they were proud of their child. That's a common way that we hear folks talk today. We say that we're proud of our children, and maybe we're proud of their accomplishments. We say we're proud of the work that we've accomplished, proud to get that done. We say we're proud to be a part of some group. Well, I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be an Auburn Tiger or from Alabama or whatever it is, right? We're proud about all of those things. At least that's what we say. But then somebody will use the word proud and meaning it in a positive way, and we'll say, well, you're not supposed to be proud, right? So the word pride is being used this month in a way that probably some of us don't like or much approve of. But I think we need to be careful here about something called hypocrisy and not doing something ourselves that we might condemn others about concerning the use of this word and whether or not it's a good word or not. So tonight the lesson is really, I hope you brought your thinking caps. We're going to do some thinking about this, and I'm just going to present some material to you about it, some maybe background information from the Scriptures, and try to answer this question in your mind. Can pride be good? Can pride be good? And that might inform us concerning the way we're going to use that word, if we're ever going to use it in a good way, and whether or not we should. And really, more importantly, the very incipient danger of the concept of pride itself to our spirituality. I mean, pride is a monumental problem in this world. In 1 John chapter 2, there are three things that are in the world, right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life. It's a biggie. It's a big thing that's in the world, and we need to guard against it. So think with me tonight as we consider this question, can pride be good? Pride in modern English has multiple definitions. So let's get this straight. And I'm talking about how we use the word today, how the world uses the word today, and how, frankly, as I said, a lot of Christians use the word today. And so this is from the Oxford Online Dictionary, some definitions of the word pride. A feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. So you accomplish something, you say, well, I'm proud I got that done. The achievements of those with whom one is closely associated. Well, I'm proud to know him because he did this. Or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. I've got this, and I'm proud of it because everybody would like to have this. Consciousness of one's own dignity. It's another definition of pride. Consciousness of one's own dignity. So, this is similar to, in fact, synonyms would be self-esteem, self-respect, ego, self-worth, self-image, self-identity, self-regard, belief in one's worth, faith in oneself. Sometimes pride is used like that. And then here's a definition that's the closest of all of the modern definitions to a Bible definition of the word pride. That is the quality of having an excessively high opinion of oneself and of one's importance. In fact, the Oxford English Dictionary goes on to say this is the sin of pride. So that's what they're trying to define with that particular definition. And among other synonyms for that would be arrogance, vanity, self-importance, hubris, self-conceit, conceitedness, egotism, narcissism, those kinds of words. That's the kind of pride that's sinful, according to the dictionary now. A fourth definition, and here's a way that's commonly being used just recently, confidence and self-respect as expressed by members of a group. typically one that's been socially marginalized on the basis of their shared identity, culture, or experience. So you have, you know, this race has pride, or this sexual orientation has pride, or whatever it might be. So that's what that's talking about. Pride. Well, that sure does muddy the water a lot, doesn't it? Because you see, as it's used in modern English, in fact, there are quite a number of meanings to the word, and several of them seem, at least on the surface, that they'd be good meanings and things that we could use the word pride for. Really doesn't get to the question of whether or not it's wrong to talk about pride in a good way, because that's going to be answered in the Bible, not in a dictionary. As I was doing some study for this, I found a chart, and I was going to put it on the screen, but I decided not to, but it's just a chart that shows how commonly the word pride is used. And it goes back to 1800. And in 1800, the word pride was being used a lot. And I'm confident it would be used a lot in 1800 in a bad way. But the word pride was used less and less and less and less. 1900, it was used much less than it was in 1800. And then it kind of bottomed out about 1950, 1960 or so. And then since then, it's being used more and more and more. And the last decade in the English language in America, pride is used a whole lot of times. Not quite as much as it was in the 1800s, but a lot. And I'm sure that it's used a lot nowadays, as I said, in a positive sense, whereas, you know, 200 years ago, it was in a negative sense. That's interesting, isn't it, how words develop and change. And the reason for that is because societies and cultures and attitudes toward things develop and change. We've seen that a lot in our culture just recently. So you're thinking with me still? It's a lot of information, right? Where do we want to go from here? I want you to think with me. When someone says to you, "I'm proud to meet you." Anybody had someone say that? "I'm proud to meet you." Maybe you've said that. What do you mean? Do you mean you're really proud to meet them? Or you're just glad or delighted or pleased? What do you mean? When your boss or your coach says, "I'm proud of what this team has accomplished," are they expressing pride or are they expressing praise? Now that's a little harder question, right? Because they might really be expressing pride. Or maybe they're just trying to praise the team. What about this one? When someone says, "I'm proud of my grandson," do they mean they're pleased or delighted with their grandson? Do they mean that? Or do they? Right? Might they feel that their grandchild is somehow superior to others? If I were to ask grandparents to raise hands on that one, I think that we'd have many grandparents who felt that their grandchild was superior to other grandchildren. Might that be a bad kind of pride? Maybe because their grandchild is superior, maybe they themselves as grandparents are superior. Are we saying that when we're saying, "I'm proud of my grandchild"? You're still thinking with me, right? My question is, if it's a good thing, is it really pride? The way the Bible uses the term, as we're going to see, I think the answer to that is going to be no. But we're going to have to go a little ways to get there. Let's see if we can go there together. Because what's muddied the water even further is that there are some Bible translations that use the word pride in a positive sense in a couple of places. And that they've used it in a modern sense. They've taken one of the good definitions of pride that we've looked at and put it into the Bible in certain places for certain words that really don't mean pride, but mean something like it in our modern terminology. Let me give you a couple of examples of that. And these are from the New American Standard Version. Some of you use the New American Standard Bible. I'm not picking on that. It's a really good translation. But it gives me a couple of examples that you can use to show you this. There are other translations that do similar things. Back in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 6, good King Jehoshaphat, you remember him, it says about him that he took great pride in the ways of the Lord. So that's pride being used in a good sense, obviously. The word pride there is translated in the New King James Version. It says he took delight. He took delight. The root word in Hebrew is a word that means high or exalted. So it doesn't really mean pride exactly as we use it today in a negative sense. The verse is saying that Jehoshaphat was overjoyed for the Lord. He felt high in his heart, so to speak. His heart was lifted up in that sense. That's obviously not the sin of pride. First of all, it didn't have anything to do with him himself. It had to do with the Lord. Secondly, it's not even the word for pride in the original language. I'll show you another usage. In the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, this is the New American Standard Bible, Paul said, "We ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure." So Paul says to the Thessalonians, "We speak proudly of you." The New King James says, "We boast of you." I don't know that boasting is all that much better than proud, but speaking proud. But anyway, those are the translations that you've got there. The word here in the original language, the Greek of the New Testament, means to express an unusually high degree of confidence in someone or something being exceptionally noteworthy. So it's really a word of praise. He's praising them. He's praising them before others. Nothing wrong with praise according to the Bible. It's a good thing if you're praising something that's good. It's praise for something that's exemplary. So again, the word proudly there isn't how we normally think of the sin of pride, but it's inserted here, and that can be confusing in this particular translation. I might say that what really gets confusing, if you look at this, Paul says, "We speak proudly of you." In Psalm 17 and verse 10, in the same translation of the Bible, the New American Standard Bible says, "They have closed their unfeeling hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly." That's a sin, right? He's talking about something that they're doing wrong. So here, the phrase "speak proudly" is a sin, and yet the same translation, translating different words in 2 Thessalonians, uses it in a positive way. Are we sufficiently confused yet? So what are we to think about all of this? How does this help us with our question? Is pride a sin? Can pride be good? If it's a good thing, my question is it really pride? Pride is still a sin. I think my first statement in this lesson was that in the Bible, pride is overwhelmingly a sin. We don't need to lose that side of that. Don't take your eye off the ball, okay? All of this stuff is like, you know, the guy that puts the ball under the cups, you know, and switches them around like this, and you're confused as to where the ball is. All the stuff I just showed you, that's confusing. But don't take your eye off the ball. The ball is, pride's still sin. It's always going to be a sin. We may need to define our terms more carefully, but pride's a sin. The Bible condemns it in so many places, wouldn't have time to put them all on the screen. Here are a few verses that talk about the sin of pride. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. "When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom." "A man's pride," in Proverbs 29 and verse 23, "will bring him low, but the humble in spirit retain honor." In Proverbs 8 and verse 13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate." We should hate what the Lord hates. The Lord hates pride. we should also hate pride. Proverbs 21:24, a proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. So you have the words scoffing and pride and arrogance, all synonyms in that passage. Pride is a sin. And a lot of those definitions that I shared with you at the beginning, which were aimed at making the word pride sound palatable and nice and good and something that we should freely use in our daily speech, if you really look at what they were saying in those definitions, the things that were being talked about are also sin. Now, not all of them, but a good many of them. Some of the positive twists on the meaning of pride still describe sinful things. Not all of them, but some of them do. Let me give you a couple of examples. When those definitions talked about the qualities of possessions that are admired, pride is having these, you know, possessions that are admired by others. What's that talking about? That's talking about materialistic pride. Nothing but pride in material things. It's not a good thing. It's never going to be a good thing. If you have pride in this or that, that is a material thing, and your possession of it because other people admire it, that's as wrong as it can be. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for exactly that. Luke 16 and verse 14, the Pharisees were lovers of money. And they heard the things that Jesus was teaching. They derided him. He said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts." And their hearts were full of covetousness and the love of money and the love of things. He says, "God knows your hearts, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." The things you're loving, the things you're taking pride in, Pharisees, are an abomination to God. This materialism that you're eaten up with is what he's accusing them of. That's never going to be a good thing. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19. The Apostle Paul describes those whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Whose glory is in their shame. I believe that phrase describes a lot that is put out as good pride today. People say they're proud of this and they have pride in that, and what they're having pride in and what they're proud of are things that the Bible describes as shameful. And therefore that pride is a sin, not because they use the word pride, but because it is at the core of it the very meaning of what sinful pride is. Now are we getting somewhere? In some of the good definitions, quote unquote, that we saw, what is meant by self-esteem? What is meant by self-esteem in the definition, good definition of pride? Again, that there could be a good sense of self-esteem. I understand that. People should have consideration for themselves in the sight of God, because all of us have a soul that is invaluable, that's more than the whole world. Our soul is valuable because Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. But that doesn't make me proud, as we sang in the song just a moment ago. That pours contempt on all my pride. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself." So is my self-esteem such that I think of myself as better than others? And if that's what we're talking about with self-esteem, then that's a sin. Now, if we're talking about self-esteem in the sense of the value of your soul that Jesus died to pay for, that's another matter. What do you mean by self-esteem? That's my question. And if it means that you think yourself better than others, that's a sin. How much pleasure or satisfaction should be derived from one's own achievements? You know, that was one of those definitions too, that trying to make pride sound like something that was good. Here's the thing, and we could talk a lot about this from Scripture, and I just want to point out one passage to you. It's 1 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7. What is it that you and I are capable of doing, have opportunity to do, have the ability to do, the strength to do, that God didn't give us all of that? What are you proud of? Here's the way Paul puts that to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. He says, "These things, brethren, I figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." Notice the problem he's getting at is pride. The problem of divisions in Corinth got back to pride. Let's be, you know, be clear about that. The reason for their divisions got back to pride. And that's what he's getting to. He said, "I'm writing these things to you. You know, you're divided. Some say I'm Apollos. Some say I'm Paul. Some say I'm of Christ, Peter, whatever." Paul says, you know, the problem is getting to your pride. You're puffed up one against another. "Well, I was baptized by Paul. Well, I was baptized by Peter, so I'm better than you." See, they're puffed up against another. That's where it's all going. And Paul says, I've used Apollos and myself as an illustration to show you how sinful that is, how wrong it is. But the critical point right now is to look at the next verse. What does he say? He says, "Who makes you to differ from one another? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you indeed received it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Why do you act like that the things you've done and the things you've been allowed to do were something that you did by your own power without the help of God?" It's the same apostle that said to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17 about God, that in Him we live and move and have our very being. We don't do anything apart from God, what He allows and the strength that He gives us. And what we need to do, folks, if you want to be boastful, is to give Him the credit for that, not yourself. So when we look back at this definition, how much pleasure or satisfaction, you know, that was the definition, pleasure or satisfaction that's derived from one's own achievements. Let's give the glory to God. Let's give the glory to God. I understand, and I hope you get this from what I've been saying so far tonight, that there are nuances of language that are matters of judgment. I'm not up here telling you that it's a sin if you use the word pride in a way that today means something positive, according to the will of God. But what I am telling you is we need to be thoughtful about that, and that what the Bible calls pride is still a sin. And as I said, it's an insidious sin. It's one that sneaks up on us. We can't even hardly begin to talk about it without it getting us. I can't tell you, I've said this before, how many times, this has happened a lot. I've preached a lesson on pride probably, I don't know, 20 or 30 times in the years I've been preaching. And go to the back door, and some sweet sister in Christ or brother in Christ has said to me, "That was a great sermon, preacher, but I'm glad I don't have a problem with that." Well, in saying that, they've got a problem with it. That literally has happened multiple times. We can't even hardly start to talk about it without it getting us. And that's the danger of it. So as I said, I understand there are nuances of meaning in language. Language changes. Our English language has changed a lot since the New King James Version, or the King James Version, I should say, was translated. But there are a couple of things I'm sure of. One is that plans or purposes that leave God out of the picture are the result of human pride. God must always be at the forefront of our minds, in our plans and in our purposes. So James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 13, don't boast about tomorrow. Don't say, today or tomorrow we're going to go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and get gain. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. Tomorrow's in God's hands. And we need to leave it there. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. All of that kind of boasting, where you're leaving God out of the picture of your future, all of it is evil. We know that for sure. Secondly, the pride of life does not connect us to our Heavenly Father, but to the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And lastly, the opposite of pride is humility. The humble aren't interested in who gets the credit. They're interested in serving and submitting. It doesn't matter who gets the credit. They're interested in the glory of God, not their own. James writes in James chapter 4 and verse 6, he gives the more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Tonight, most of us in this room are disciples of Christ. Most adults in this room have been believers in Christ, many for many years. Obeyed the gospel, been baptized in water for the remission of your sins as you turned away from a life of sin to follow Jesus. And I say to you that in that process, no man or woman who has ever become a Christian has been able to do so without first humbling themselves. The gate into the kingdom of heaven is mighty low. And you have to get low to go through it. Believers will humble themselves to God. They'll seek His forgiveness for their sins. They'll humbly submit and obey. So, if good pride exists, all I can say about it is that it must be directed toward God. Like Jehoshaphat, who was lifted up because of the ways of the Lord. Here's what the Bible says. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. There's a lot that's going on in this world that's wrong, folks. We want to stand for the truth in this world. We want to be lights. But our first concern and foremost concern always is to get the beam out of our own eyes. It's easy to nitpick at the way the world does things and says things and carries on. Actually, it's not much nitpicking. It's pretty obvious stuff. Let's make sure we're doing the right things. Our attitudes are right about things. Thank you so much for studying with me tonight. I hope this has helped as we live in this world, that we might humble ourselves and live for Jesus. There might be one here tonight who needs to obey the gospel. We encourage you to do that at this moment if you need to. Jesus died for you. When you survey the wondrous cross, so much love there. He died for your sins. He died for you. Believe Him. Obey the gospel. Turn away from sin. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Give your life wholly, completely to Him for the rest of your days. If you're ready to do that, please come while we stand, while we sing.